Today, I want to talk about parental alienation, what it is, how it manifests, and the effects of it. Now, this is quite a broad topic, but something worth taking a look at, as it is something you might have experienced growing up as a daughter of a narcissistic mother. I came across the definition of parental alienation only recently, and I was blown away to realize how much that had actually been part of my own personal experience growing up, and also how much that is a regular everyday experience for so many kids growing up, and the effects that it has then later on in adult life. So hence I want to talk about this today. So let's start with what is parental alienation, just in case you've never really come across it. So you've experienced it, but you have no idea you have. You don't even know what it is. You've never heard the words. Parental alienation is the attempt of one parent to turn the child against the other parent through a campaign of denigration. In our case, this happens when the mother uses manipulation, criticism, she encourages disrespect of the other parent and can go all the way to the point of denying access, or having the child so convinced she's in the right that the child will cut ties with the other parent altogether. So as you can well imagine, this behavior has catastrophic effects on the child. But a narcissistic mother will use all the tools she has, like, as we said, manipulation, gaslighting, guilt-tripping, outright lies that she will have confirmed by other people in the life of the child, all to achieve what she wants. Because we know at this point that she has to fulfill her emotional needs, and she does that completely disregarding the consequences her behavior has on the child. And a child who grows up being told by one parent that the other parent doesn't love them and possibly never even wanted them will grow up experiencing confusion, anxiety, low self-esteem, self-hatred, loyalty conflicts. That's like a really big thing, and I can speak to that. I know what that feels like. Guilt, lack of trust in relationships, fear of abandonment, risk of addictions, and depression. So as you can imagine, this is like a really big deal. So if you're experiencing any of the above in your present life, it is worth looking back for a moment and understanding that when your mother told you what she did about your father, chances are she was trying to fill whatever hole she felt inside of herself, not really caring about what effects that would have on you later on in life. She has her own agenda. She has her own emotional needs that she tends to. And that is what guides her. And we know at this point, if you've been following this podcast for a while, if you've been listening to the other episodes, you know at this point that we're not saying this because we're blaming her and because we're just carrying on a victim story. Oh, poor us. We have been victim of all of this from this really bad, evil person. That is not where we're coming from. This is totally just to understand, like, a narcissistic mother, we've said that before and I want to say that again, is unaware of what she's doing. It's not a conscious behavior. It's not something that she consciously every morning chooses to do. But she has a very strong disconnection from what you as a person are feeling, from what the people around her are feeling. She can't feel into that. So she's completely self-absorbed into what she is feeling. And so if she's having, and obviously this will bring problems within a relationship. So in her relationship with her partner, with your other parent, she's self-absorbed. and she can't see through any other lens. And so she will speak to you about the other parent through her lens, and she won't realize what she's doing in the process of doing that. So it's we're not here to attack, we're not here to blame, we're not here to play the victim. We are here, well, I am here to support you, understanding that this is what's happened, and by understanding, then you can empower yourself and then release whatever needs to be released through the processes, and then start living the life that you want to live, that come from that place that is really you, and it's not anymore a collection of all the effects of what you have been through when you were a child. As I know that for myself, for the best part of my life, I have lived as as a big bag of the effects that my childhood has had on me, and that was showing into every aspect of my life. It was showing into my relationships, it was showing with my own children, it was showing with the way I behaved with my pets, it was showing in my work, it was showing when I was alone and how I felt about myself, even, you know, in my own space, in my own room. It was showing on my health and my body and the symptoms that my body was beginning to show up. So everything was affected by all that I had been through, and I was unaware of those connections. I did not know. For the best part, I thought that was normal. I thought it was very normal that parents would, you know, argue, and then that being separated, in my case, they would, you know, not agree with each other. And I didn't realize as an adult what that did to me when I was a child. So that's why we're here, to understand all of these dynamics, so that then you can move on, feel lighter, release and let go. So as I came across parental alienation, I've noticed how it's more common, or at least what you find as material out there, if you go searching it online, it's put as a very common thing in cases of divorced parents, separated parents, or single mothers that have brought up their children alone, with missing, the other parent was missing. So, and that was my case. My parents have divorced when I was only one, so I have no memories of them together. I only have memories of them separated, and my mother having a lot of resentment towards my father throughout the entirety of my life, and putting that back on me. But with that said, perhaps you haven't experienced the outright parental alienation. Perhaps your parents are still together, and they have been together throughout your childhood. But what I've noticed as, and with my previous work that I've done for so many years, I have worked very close to a lot of children. I have observed the dynamics between the children, the parents, and I was very close to all of that. And I have observed in so many cases the level of criticism that goes on. In our case, we're talking from the mothers towards the fathers, and that happens in front of the child. So you might have experienced that. Even if your parents were together, you might have heard often your mother criticizing heavily your father in front of you. How many times did she compare maybe what she did for you to what he did for you, in a light that made her the hero and him the bad dad, and then maybe like it was a competition, you know, and you were dragged into that. So that has as bad an effect on a child as the full-on outright war between the parents. you can still create conflict, confusion, and the loyalty conflict is a big thing, because as a child you're loving both, but mother is a big thing, especially for us daughters. And very often there is the case of, as being a daughter of a narcissistic mother, there can be a tendency of really relying on the father. I've spoken to many that were like, yeah, my mother was such and such, but my dad was my hero. My dad was the person I looked up to. That was my experience as well. My dad was the man of my life. And to hear that actually, deep down, he probably didn't want me, that he didn't love me, that he didn't care for me, that he didn't do enough for me. That's a big deal. And to have a mother that constantly denigrates him in the effort to make him look bad in your eyes, even if she didn't succeed. So even if your father was, as I said, like your hero, the person that you looked up to, but her words may still have planted a seed within you. Because something that is repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated gets in there, especially within a child. And all those seeds might well be at the root of the beliefs that dictate how you experience relationships as an adult. Like abandonment wounds, we said, lack of trust, codependency, and so on. Also, with parents that are still together, when one gets over critical of the other, this can cause an argument, and the child is often in the middle of it. A narcissistic mother is not beyond using a child as a pawn against the other parent, again causing confusion and a feeling of being a bad child, because the child will take it upon him or herself to be the cause of the conflict. A narcissistic mother might then reinforce these beliefs, saying to the child things like, if it weren't for you having said or done whatever, we would not have been fighting. Or, ever since you were born, your father has been like that. Everything has changed, and it's because of you. My parents divorced, as I said, when I was a baby, and I grew up hearing how very little my father wanted to spend time with me, how very little he was willing to pay for my expenses, clearly meaning I wasn't worth much to him. How very little he cared for my health, education, and so on, all the way to the point that my mother took all the credit for me being born, saying my father never even wanted children, and it was all her that decided that they were going to have babies, and that she managed to convince him, and that she did that in the desperate attempt to save their marriage, and even that didn't work. So as a little baby, I was not worth enough to save the marriage. That's a big load to put on a child. If you have experienced anything like that, if you've ever been told things like that, you know what a load that is to put on a child. Now, I was never forced, thankfully, not to see my father. But there was severe guilt tripping going on if I ever expressed the need to see him more, for example. And flying monkeys were used regularly to confirm my mother's view of my father as well. Like, my entire mother's family was hell-bent in criticizing my father any time they could. And I heard all of that. I was always present to all of this. So, thankfully, my father was nothing like my mother described. I have had, and I'm grateful for it, I've had the possibility to actually be in contact with my father enough. He has been present in my life so that I could see that he was not what they were speaking to. And I know that's not the case for all of us. I know that there's some of you listening to this that might not have ever met your father, that might have actually cut ties with your father for different reasons, and I really feel for you. I really get it, how that has an impact. But I want to say to everyone listening that there isn't a hierarchy, really. Like, you know, someone has suffered more than someone else. It's like whatever your experience has been, even if your parents were together and you had a lovely family, but your mom criticized your dad heavily in front of you and pulled you into it, still that has an effect. It's still, that's how like trauma works like that. It doesn't go with, oh, I only had like a little tiny teeny bit of trauma and I had like a big, big thing. It doesn't work like that. The experience that the child has is as confusing and it can just have repercussions later in life, no matter the intensity. And that's why I'm saying that even having seen that my father was not the person that my mom described, I still grew up with plenty of trust issues in relationships. That has been a problem with my relationships for many, many, many years. And a strong fear of abandonment. That is still with me. It's still with me. It's a pattern I can go back into very easily still. Despite all the work, there's the awareness. I can recognize it now when it takes over, just before it takes over, but it can still be present and quite strongly. Okay, so if you're feeling like that, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just what you've been through, and more awareness and more work and more like, there's ways to release the trauma. There's ways to work with that so that it affects you less and less. And you can actually start living not from the effects of that, but from your own core, from your own heart, from your own center, way, way more. I grew up with the core belief that I was not worthy of my father staying around. And that translates in I'm not worthy of love as a human being. So whatever you've been told, that's what happens. All of that in the child's mind translates in I'm not worthy of love. I'm not enough to keep harmony around here. I'm not enough for all of this mess to go away and for these two people to just love me as they're meant to. And I just want you to know that that's not true. You are plenty enough and you're so lovable. And these people were caught in stories and are caught in stories that have nothing to do with you, really. They just hadn't a clue what they were doing and did not have the tools to deal with it. And that's just simply how it was. It has nothing to do with you. And I know that only hearing it is not enough. But it's a start. It sure helped me when I heard people reminding me of that. People I trusted, mentors I really had great time for, reminding me that it had nothing to do with me. So whichever degree of parental alienation you might have experienced growing up, whether you were denied access to your father altogether or your mother didn't miss a chance to criticize him and used you against him in arguments, it is important for you to understand that none of it has anything to do with you. You are not responsible for any of the conflicts between your parents and you're so lovable no matter what their story is or has been. If you have experienced this type of dynamic growing up, there's not one key or easy solution for this, at least none that I have found in my experience. I wish I could just say the one key thing to do in this situation. I don't have that. For me, it was a process. But personally, understanding the way my mother has behaved, learning about maternal narcissism, first of all, and that ultimately what she told me and taught me for the most part was a manipulation of reality and not reality itself. And she did that in order to fulfill her own emotional needs. All of that has helped me cast a different light on a lot of things. If your mother manipulated you against your father to some degree, chances are you're still experiencing the consequences of it today, as we said. And it might have been outright and obvious, or it might have been so subtle that you've never even known it was happening. You thought it was just normal. And yet, you might find yourself in toxic relationships, fearing being left, or believing no one will ever truly love you because you're not worthy of being loved. So again, it's, I think, the most important thing, if I have to give you the one key thing, is for you to know that no matter what you've been told, you are lovable. You're very lovable. And just because you've been through what you've been through, that does not mean that every person in your life is gonna be the same. And it's going to treat you that way. It's not like that. Once you start opening up, once you start realizing and being aware, and then recognizing those patterns within your system, because that's what we do. We see, because we've been through certain experiences, we see everything through those lenses. And again, it's to be honored, because that's a protective mechanism. I mean, if you've touched something really, really hot, well then, you know, you're not going to go do it again, are you? You're going to know, okay, anything that has fire burning in it has a chance to be hot, so I'm not going to burn myself again. And the same happens if the example of relationship you've seen has been so catastrophic. You're going to watch everything your partner does through those lens. And that will have an effect. It's not, I'm not going into, oh, you're doing that to yourself, because look, you can meet people that are toxic too. That is not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that there's a filter there, and we tend to notice only the things that confirm that fear that we have. And that is not helpful. That creates dynamics that are not helpful. Once you start, and I know that because I've seen that happening. I've seen that happening in my friendship relationships. I've seen that happening in my personal romantic relationships. I've seen that happening in the relationship at work, in the relationship with my kids. And I've also seen that happening in women that came to me like clients in their own relationship, how everything actually transformed. So they didn't need to change partner. I didn't need to change partner. I just needed to understand and bring awareness to the filters I was using, and also to my behaviors. Because in order not to be abandoned, I was behaving in a way that was toxic, really, for myself first and foremost, and then for the people around me. So they were responding quite a bit to my own way of behaving, of showing how I was, always in the desperate need to be accepted, and this forever present fear of, if I actually am myself, if I say what I really think, if I behave as I really would, I'm gonna be abandoned. Because ultimately they're here, this person is with me, these people are with me, just because they haven't really seen how unworthy I am yet. But they will find out at some point, and they will go. And so I'm going to try and mask all of these, and I'm going to try and use all these ways and strategies to make sure I'm going to keep them closed. even to the point of becoming controlling, that can happen too. Like you can become overly controlling just because you want to make sure that people that you love stay around and they don't leave you. So you can see how these dynamics can be quite toxic for you first and foremost, and not conducive to good relationships with anyone. And obviously, all of this happens without the awareness. Again, it's not like I knew I was doing that. It's when I realized that I was doing that that I started looking at the cause, finding it within my body. Where is it in my body that this hurts? Where is it in my body that this experience is trapped? Where is it in my life that is manifesting? What happens within my body when I'm about to behave that way? When that pattern is about to play out, that dynamic is about to play out, what happens within me? How am I feeling? And beginning to recognize all of that helps you going, okay, this is happening. And I can say it now. I can literally say to my partner, look, this is where I am right now. I'm feeling that. That this fear is present in me right now. I know this has nothing to do with what you're doing, but whatever you've done has triggered that. And let's have a conversation. Or maybe not. Maybe I don't even need to have a conversation right now. I just have to let you know that this is what's happening. And that brings safety, and that brings more communication, and that brings a gentle breaking of those patterns. And this goes in a whole bigger topic of consciously communicating with your partner or with the people around you, and learning to know yourself and stuff. But it's just to say there are ways that by learning and understanding what you've been through, you can gently start bringing it into your life, seeing your life in a different light, and things around you change. You will see how things around you change. I can't recognize. It seems like when I'm looking back at 3 or 4 years ago, it's like a different lifetime. Really a different lifetime. The dynamics, everything, it's so different, so different, and for the better, way better. My life has changed so incredibly. Working with this, learning about this, and not only learning about this, but learning about myself and doing really deep inner work, going into my own system, physical, energetic, my entire system, and learning how it works. And learning that there's no right or wrong, that there's no way I'm better or worse than other people, there's no comparing. I'm not less worthy or more worthy. I'm not less lovable or more lovable. I am just the way I am. And from there, living a different life. And that is possible. So that's why I keep saying, you're lovable. You're so very lovable. And if any of these struck a chord within you, whether you were aware of parental alienation before now, or you've heard of it for the first time today, remember one thing that is really key: reaching out for support is always a really potent step. It's the biggest self-love practice. When you raise your hand and go, I actually really need help with this. I'm just after realizing this is a thing and I need help with this. That's self-love. That's pure self-love. If you have any questions or reflections, reach out. I am here and I'm happy to support you. You can go on my website. You can sign up to the mailing list. You can reach me through email and contact. And yeah, let me know. Let me know your reflection. Let me know what your experience was. Let me know, did you know about this before? today, or is this the first time you hear about this? What degree of it you experienced? And yeah, I love hearing from you. It's really beautiful. This is a conversation. I don't think I've said that before in this specific podcast, but I really want for this to be a conversation. It's not a monologue. I don't particularly like talking a lot. I love hearing your experience, your questions, your reflections. That fuels the next episodes. That fuels this. And by you doing that, you asking questions, you raising questions and sharing your reflections, you're actually speaking for so many women that might not feel comfortable enough just yet to ask a question, that might not feel comfortable enough to share their reflections, but they benefit by hearing what you're saying through what I then bring into the podcast. So I'm thanking you in advance for doing that. That's epic and awesome. And I honor you so much for being here and for your courage. And as always, you know what I believe? Every woman deserves to feel safe, loved, and alive. And that's why I'm here. And that's why you're here. Lots of love. And bye for now.